wanting to get into, and we're going to go there today, is going to be chapter 11. It's just there. We just want to do it. But we find out that we've been in Hebrews a couple weeks now, and it kind of started out, I didn't know where we were going and how it was going to transpire, but first couple of weeks, and especially the first week back, or 2 weeks back, it starts talking out about sharing, the author of that book was saying that we don't worship angels. We don't pray to angels to do the things to protect us now. We pray to God and allow God to use whatever resources he wants to protect us, and he can call upon the angels and send the legion of those things. Now, Jesus even said that, right? When he was going through all of his trials, he called legions of angels, but he didn't. But it had been the Lord God to do those things. But anyway, as we get into the Hebrews, I wanted to get into that faith chapter because that's where it just, you start reading that and what happens? It just starts bubbling out of you to know what is there and what has happened in the past. So in Hebrews, we find what is fondly called that faith chapter. It's in this chapter that we read of so many wonderful men and women of great faith. Amen. Now, we look at it and we go, well, that's kind of neat. That was powerful what they did and all. You got to remember now, what is faith? 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. And so how powerful that is that we can walk by faith and not by sight. And our relationship with Christ all begins by an activation of what within us? Our faith. I receive salvation by faith. One of the things I guess I was looking at of, and this is not necessarily a title of it, and I don't really title a whole lot of things that I do, but I've got it here saying, faith to believe, faith to please, faith to see, and faith to move. All of those areas, when you talk with God and the things that God has for you, you're going to believe, amen. You're going to please, because it does say that we're going to find out that if you want to please God, what's it take? F-A-I-T-H, faith. And it's going to take you to see. We'll go through some scriptures here to look at that. But anyway, 11:1, now faith is the substance. Substance, it's a realization. Do you have a realization of the things that God has for you or what God has desired for you? Things that we walk in. You may be right now walking in weakness of health, but he's got healing for you. Amen. You may be walking right now in areas of lack of income, but he's going to be what? He's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you, those things that you need, and he's going to see you through. But it's those times when you know that you've got a need, but you don't have the answer, or you don't have it seen in the natural of how this is going to work. And we're going to look at some things throughout the scriptures here this morning and maybe the next couple. And so now faith has that substance. It's that realization of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, the evidence, confidence. And the thing is, there's a lot of people in our churches that are lacking the confidence of what God can do in your life. The world, if they lack it, I understand that. But it's what about the people in our churches that have his word that should be sitting under studies, that should be sitting under faith teachings, and yet they're walking in a misunderstanding of what this is all about. And when a little adversity or even a big adversity comes upon them, they're sometimes the first ones to run away from God because they think God has left them or God is not there for them or God is a liar or what about this faith message? Because faith moves many things. Talks about if you have faith of a mustard seed, what are you going to be able to move? Speak to that mountain. If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain and it will be removed. Faith moves, faith sees, faith responds to these things, faith pleases. Amen. And so as we get into 11, there's a lot of heroes in there, and we all know of them. What about in 4? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, in 5, Enoch was taken away that he did not see death. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. How could that be? Divinely warned of things not seen, but he did what? He responded. Because he heard, and he obeyed God. And he said, there's something to this. But anyway, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive his inheritance. By faith, and nine, by faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of the promise. 11:11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength. What is the common thing in these people? Faith. What is the common thing in you people? Faith. I hope so. I hope we have a common in that. Hallelujah. I turn my page over to 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob in 20. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons. In 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention. By faith, I ask you today, where is your faith? Do you have faith? Is your faith growing? You know, if something is not growing, it's usually either stagnant or it's dying. Is your faith stagnant? Is your faith dying? Every day that we're alive on this earth, planet Earth, I believe we have to walk in a lot of faith of the things that we have to work through, deal with. We hear the news, we see the situations, we hear the economy, all these things and the doom and the gloom that's going on. And any one of us, even though we're built up in faith, we could become very discouraged in the things around us in the natural because, see, we're seeing things with the natural eye. Your natural eye looks for discouragement. Usually, discouragement is in the form of the now. When we are discouraged, it's because of things that we hear and see, and there's evidence of the now, it seems like. But the things that we walk in by the faith, knowing that those things that I see, those things that I hear, those things that are taking effect today that could very well affect my life in the natural, I don't put a lot of weight into or worries into, because I serve a God that cares for me and a God that's going to take care of me. And so why should I be worried? Are you worried today? Shouldn't be. Are you running to and fro like, oh my goodness, how's this going to happen? How are we going to survive? What's going to take place? Oh, you shouldn't be. You ought to be as cool as a cucumber. You ought to just be as happy. You know, isn't there something good to be said about somebody that they talk about kids or people and they go, man, that person is just a happy-go-lucky person. They're just happy-go-lucky. Doesn't seem like they have any care, any worries, anything going on in their life. They just see the good in everything. I don't like that person because they see the good in everything. I don't understand how they do that. You know what? It's probably because they made an effort to decide to do that. I'm a firm believer. You decide how you're going to respond. I don't know. I had got papers here. Oops. We had the thing yesterday as far as for the men. And this kind of tied into this, and I didn't know it was going to. But it says at the very end, the one area that we can control, however, is how we respond. You can either choose devastation and surrender, or you can choose hope and perseverance. Right. You are the deciding factor, not God, not the devil. Amen. You are. So, that's the area that you control. So anyway, we'll kind of share a little bit more of that. But that was something yesterday that kind of came into this whole thing too. Now we look at that and what faith did in these people, but we also know faith moves things in the natural as well of stuff. Let's see, what are we going to do here? Well, you can go on throughout Moses and 23. If I get into how they overcome, faith will help you overcome. Does anybody in here need to have be an overcomer? Anything that you're dealing with right now, right today that you've got to overcome. Do you know that you can do that? Do you know that you're going to overcome it? May not be today, may not be Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. It might be, you may overcome it by next week. You may overcome it not until like 6 months from now. Because my faith and my trust is knowing that God is there and He knows the best for me. If my trials and tribulations and the things that I've got to deal with are lasting longer than a day or two, you know what? I got to go by faith because it's things not seen, things that I believe are going to come my way, that God is going to have that answer for me and that it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. because God is on my side. But anyway, so look at some of the things that you overcome. By faith, what happened in Jericho? Verse 30. The walls come tumbling down. He even told them some certain things that you had to do. You got to do this and march around the city. And after that, then you shout. You know, there were stipulations. He was telling them that there are stipulations. There are things that you've got to do for this faith to be in your life and become active. So what has God told you to do that's going to help activate your faith? What has God put upon you to say, okay, if you're going through this situation, Tim, this is what you need to do, and you need to do it for 3 times, and after that, do this for 1 time, and after that, do this for 1 time, and then after that, just give a shout! I would say, well, Lord, can't I just bypass all that other stuff and just give a shout now? I want to do that because it's a lot quicker. But the Lord is saying, these are things that you've got to do. Because as I hear those things, to do those things, then God is seeing that my faith is in Him, that I'm going to do all this stuff, because I know at the end when I give a shout, all this stuff is going to come tumbling down, or all this stuff is going to open up to me, or all these things are going to be removed from me, or all these things that I'm needing is going to be coming to me. Amen. Hallelujah. So by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. We find these things of faith. By faith, they passed in 29. They passed through the Red Sea on dry land. Let's go out to the Rock River. And that's not that big here. Remember we did a few weeks back talking about how we got into the river flowing of things. But the widest part of the Mississippi is only a few miles from where it actually starts. It's up in Minnesota. It comes out of that little park up there, remember? It starts out as only like 3 or 4 feet wide, 6 feet wide. The widest part of the Mississippi is in up in Minnesota, where the widest part of the Mississippi is 11 miles wide. Ain't that wild? And then it comes down through all these little places and gets so... But anyway, that would be like, let's go out to the Mississippi and we're going to go across it. It's going to be on dry ground. Let's just go to the... Okay, you don't have faith for the Mississippi, let's go to the Rock River. Just right around the road here. And generally, in parts of the Rock River, it's probably only about this deep. As dry as it's been, now it's rained, but as dry as it's probably been only about this deep in some areas. But the faith that it was taken, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now, and the faith is what did they do to split the sea? Didn't he touch it or something with a rod? Now, I would hope my faith is built up to the point to where if the Lord said, Tim, go to the Rock River and take that little pole you got here and just hit the water one time and see what happens. I would pray and hope my faith is stretched to the point where I say, hey, if the Lord told me to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't know what He's got planned, but I'm going to do it. By faith, He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood as far as over the first barn, over the doorpost. By faith. By faith, by faith. So we find faith moving in people. We find faith that works through situations. We find faith that helps people and things overcome. Do you have that overcoming faith? So faith is that conviction, confidence, trust, the belief, the reliance, the trustworthiness. In the New Testament, the setting, it is the divinely implanted principle of inward confidence. There are things that if you are truly planted with faith in you, and it's that of God, nothing I say or do should shake you. If you've got that inward witness, if you've got that inward, still small voice that He spoke to you, and saying, I know it doesn't look good now, Tim, or whoever put your name there, but this is going to happen, or this is not going to happen, or this is going to be different, or whatever the case might be, that if He has spoken that to any one of us, and you walk in that faith level, shouldn't be anybody here could take that away from you, amen? The devil will. The devil's going to try to mess with you a little bit. He's going to try to mess with your mind, you know. Well, how could that be? How do you see that? The devil will say, see, the Lord will say, you've got to look at things as though you don't see them. The devil wants to come to you and say, you need to look at things that you see. Because the devil knows in the things that I see personally in the flesh, those are the things that are really going to weigh upon me in that of a man in our flesh. But I've got to elevate myself and raise myself up to the point to where I say, I am not moved by what I see, amen. I am moved by what my Lord has told me he's going to do in this situation. May not have happened yet, and you know what? If it hasn't happened yet, that's okay by me because I'm not the one calling the shots. He is. My God is calling my shots. And when he says it's time, it'll be time. When he's ready to give what I'm supposed to get, he'll get it to me. The devil's going to want to say, well, what do you see now? I may look and say, well, I see despair. I see lack. I see pain. I see doctor bills. I see operation. I see this. I see that. I see all these things. And that's what the devil's wanting me to do. He says, yeah, just keep focusing on those things right now. Because when I'm focusing on these things that I see now, I'm taking off my understanding of faith and walking not by sight, but by my faith, my reliance upon the things of God. It's that implanted principle of inward confidence, the assurance, the trust, and the reliance in God and all that he has said. The Greek word of substance translates literally means a standing under and was used in the technical sense of a title deed. We have those things when our housing, and we have those things when you buy a car, and all these deeds are the title that you have, you know. And it just shows ownership, doesn't it? Now, in some instances, when the bank and we own it together. But I got a title that's got maybe another name on it. But once I pay it off, guess what? That name comes off and it's just my name on it. But I'm not walking with that. And if nothing else, I'm going to tell you what. If there's another person listed on my title deed, it's Tim Jesus. Tim and Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has made that. God has provided those things for me. How about you? And so I can walk with that assurance. I've got that. Talks about that substance. Now, faith is the substance, the realization of things hoped for, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. And as soon as we can get ourselves removed from having to see in the natural, you will be so much further along in the spiritual. You will be that much closer to the things of God because God moves in the spiritual. Because he talks in his word that our battle is not against what? But it's in what? The realms of the Spirit, it's out there. It's things that you don't see with these natural eyes, but it's things that you sense by that of the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. Why do we have to have the Holy Spirit? So that we're led by God and that we're led in truth by God and that the Spirit doesn't tell us anything but what the Father tells the Spirit to tell Tim. So when I hear the Holy Spirit telling Tim, I don't have to go, well, gee, I wonder if this is the Holy Spirit or I wonder if this is God telling me. I don't have to dissect that conversation and say, well, part of it was God, part of it was the Holy Spirit, and part of it was this, part was that. No, when I hear that and the witness in my spirit, by his spirit speaking to my spirit through that of the Holy Spirit, I can be assured of what I'm hearing is from God. Do you hear that? Do you walk in that? Do you understand that? So now we look at these things. What about that? And the reliance of God and what he has and what he says. Faith is vital to every Christian life in this building and every Christian life around this world. Amen? Faith is vital. Here's just some listings. We understand in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We find out that God is the creator through his word. 11:3. We find out that we are justified by and we have access into God's grace by faith in Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Remember what that's talking about, that faith. We're talking about faith is the reliance in God and all that he says. You look at God's word and what does God's word say? What God's word says, I say. Was it, what did Mark say one time? What he says, I say. Or something like that. Now, the devil will try to tell you some things, but you got to know who you're listening to. You got to know when the devil's in there. We had it in Sunday school talking about the weapons that are coming against us and things of that nature. And you've got to realize that the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil is to destroy you. The schemes of the devil is to frustrate you. The schemes of the devil is to devour you. The schemes of the devil is to discourage you. And if he can get any one of those or all of those into your life, he's high-fiving the rest of his little demons. Has he been high-fiving his helpers over your life? Are things that you've done or not done because you've been fearful of doing anything or stepping out in faith, is it giving the devil a high five to his helpers? Saying, look what I've done. Look what we've done, guys. We've destroyed a life that was on fire for God. We've taken someone that was turned on to God or was supposedly walking in faith, and we've caused so much doubt and confusion in them that now they're lying waste out there in little Christianityville, little Hooterville. We are made wise for salvation, 2 Timothy 3:15. From the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We are redeemed through Christ's blood, receiving forgiveness of your sins. That's the thing that people don't have. That is the hardest part people have to deal with and try to understand, that your sins have been taken from you. Because that's the one thing the devil wants to just keep dropping into your thoughts all the time, is your sins, your sins, your sins, your past, your past, your sins, your past. Right. In Romans 3, 24 to 25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God set forth as appropriation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. We are saved from past sins, Ephesians 2:8. I'm just running through these things. You just do a study in your Bible, guys, of faith and what faith has done and what God's word is for us and what he is telling us all about ourselves by all these things. Remember, we started out by saying what faith is and these things. It's about the reliance in God and all that he says. If you don't know what he has said, you don't know what he's got for you. And the reason why you may not know what he's got for you is because you don't look at your Bible. You don't take your word open and just take your Bible and start going through it and saying, what is it, Lord, that you've done for little old Tim here? What is it that you've done for my family? What is it that you've done for the church? What is it that you've done for your people? And as long as I can keep, or the devil or whoever, time constraints, no time, it's not a happy thing to do. I just don't have time. I don't desire to open up the Bible. Well, get an electronic device and open it up on that if you want electronic. I don't know, but look at the Word of God and see what he has for you. Until you do that, you're going to lead a defeated life. Until you really understand what God has done already for you, you're going to be wondering and bemoaning the fact, is it real? Is it true? Do I really get this? Is really God for me? Is he really for me? Or if he's for me, who can be against me? Is he really going to protect me? Is he going to place his angels charge over me? Is he going to give me guidance? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? Just begin to look through some scriptures and look through a, you know, concordance and things and just start doing a word study. What about this, that our hearts are purified? Acts 15, 8-9. God, who knows the heart, acknowledges them by giving them the Holy Spirit, purifying their hearts by faith. Do you understand why the devil does not want you to have active faith? By faith. Remember, all these things have been done by faith. It's things that I cannot tangibly see and put my hand on right here and say, I've got that title deed. I've got it in his word. I've got it in the scriptures. I can hold my Bible up and say, his words are in here and his words are powerful. Sharper than a what? Two-edged sword. All these things that we can live by and should be growing by. In 2 Corinthians, we conduct ourselves as God directs. And it says this, that for we walk by faith, not by sight. There's a lot of messed up people out there, and they're walking by sight. They can actually see where they're going. They're seeing everything that they're doing. And they're just messing up their lives hand over fist, man. Yes. They're seeing it by their sight. And they don't realize what they're doing even. They don't realize what the devil has done, snaring them into this way of life or snaring them into that direction. And you look at it and say, didn't you see it coming? Well, I guess I should have. I guess now that it's happened and I think back, you know, I did really see this catastrophe coming upon my life. So I did see it. The devil will lead the people astray by just the natural things that they see and go through. We talked in the Sunday school class this morning too about how the Lord works through people in this atmosphere where we're at. You people that are here, He works through you. You are His hands. You are His feet. You are His voice. People look at you and see the compassion or the not compassion of Christ. They look at you, and if you're a mean old, crusty old Christian, that's what they see God as. Just a crusty old God. But if they look at you and you're a vibrant, loving, pleasing, happy, happy-go-lucky guy, you know, or gal, and you've got the Lord on your side and you've got full of the Holy Ghost, they see something that they don't see in the world. They go, I want that. So as God works through you, the devil also works through you. He puts things in people's thoughts. He puts things in people's ways to come against you or to put people at odds with you, to create that offense, to create that adversary that he's going to... You know, sometimes your best friend can turn out to be your worst enemy sometimes. You go, wow, I thought we had a good relationship. What in the world happened? Well, somehow the devil corrupted it, changed it, worked in it. Whatever the case might be, I don't know. And I'm not saying that these people are possessed and all that, you know, and demons in them. But the devil will use these things and use those around you sometimes to inflict confusion into you, to inflict disillusionment, to take away the faith out of you. The devil will really amplify when you've got a pain in your back, a lump on your shoulder, you know, whatever the case, an upset stomach, you name it. He'll take those things and just start really amplifying those things to where before you know it, you think you're probably like, you know, 1 foot in the grave. Oh, I just know it's this. I just know it. How do you know it? Well, I just read an article. I read an article, and this is what they say. One of the signs is, I saw a TV show, and that's what happened to that guy or that girl, you know. And so the devil takes all those things and we put that into our minds and then he starts playing those things in our mind and he starts amplifying it and he gets you going and before you know it, you're not walking in faith, you're running in fear. Well, let's run in faith and just, you know, don't even walk in fear. Run in faith, man. The race that's set before you talks about that, isn't there? That we're on this race for faith. We're on this it's not just a short run. It's a marathon that we're on. And these people that we talked about in 11 talk about being great men and women of faith. They're in the faith chapter. It talks about, and they died without even seeing the fullness of Christ coming back and all. Or even seeing Christ, because a lot of these were back in the Old Testament. But by faith, these people lived. By faith, they did these things. So let's keep working here. I think you've got the just as far as looking at what God has said He has for us as we walk out these things in faith. Amen? I mean, I don't want to beat a dead dog, but you know, sometimes the only time you guys might hear of these scriptures is on a Sunday morning. And I'd encourage you to at least write down the reference point and when you get home, maybe look at your Bible and just kind of read what that is saying for you. Faith rhymes with space. Space, the final frontier. Going where no man has gone before. Your faith walk will take you where you've never gone before. Your faith walk with God will sustain you, get you there. Now, once you get there and you've arrived at that particular destination, you are no longer walking in faith. Once you receive, once you're walking in faith for a healing of a physical need, and once that healing has taken place and you're healthy, you no longer need faith for that health anymore. As long as you're walking in and you need a financial infusion of some money, and once that money comes, you don't know how it's going to come, but just by faith, I'm going to pay my tithes. By faith. You know, your tithes are based upon your first fruits. And if you don't have any income coming in, guess what? You don't have a tithe to owe. As you're thinking about owing God, you know. Because what first fruit do you have coming in? If you have zero coming in, you got zero going out. But I know that my God loves giving, and he loves to see how we can walk into these things. So we've got to search some of those things out. And maybe you don't have an income stream coming in, but maybe you got something that comes in. And even if you put a dollar into the plate when it comes by, it's by faith I'm putting that thing in there. $5, $2, 50 cents. It don't matter. It's where you have got that area with God. And God looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. And a lot of it, we talked about that. We're not going to go there about the widow that gave more than those that had much. But she gave all that she had. The others, they gave out of the excess that they had. So that's not really doing a whole lot. But anyway, that's part of those giving things. But that's talking about walking in faith in those things. So anyway, once we're looking at those areas of faith, and we're saying, man, Lord, I got a bill, I got this, I got, you know, taxes coming, whatever the case might be, and all of a sudden it's fulfilled and it's taken care of, I don't need faith now to see that amount in the checking account. You know what I'm going to do? Move on to the next level. I'm going to go into the next realm of faith. Like, okay, Lord, what is it now that I need? You know, we've got to walk in a faith all the time and knowing what Christ has done for us in our salvation. You got to keep that always on the front burner of what you're doing. But, you know, there's sometimes I think once we go through different levels of faith and things and everything's going pretty good, you know, maybe you're not walking and needing a whole lot of that faith there at times. Maybe you're just kind of like coasting and God is just blessing you. Amen. And then all of a sudden you hit a bump in the road. Boom, boom. Uh-oh. The car's acting up. Uh-oh, this is happening, that's happening, whatever the case might be. I don't know what's going to happen. And you, okay, Lord, by faith, I just believe you're going to take care of this. By faith, you're going to give me an answer. Once that area has come together, then you no longer need faith. You know, when you're going through a medical situation and you're healed and the doctor says it's gone or the procedure we did corrected it and you healed faster and it's no longer there, you're okay. Well, you don't need, you know, faith to say, well, it's already done then. Then you go into saying, hallelujah, thank you, Father. I praise you for being my provider. I thank you for being my healer. And walk those things out. There's just a lot of things built into faith. There's just a lot of things that little word controls and works within your Christian walk. You will find that sometimes the smallest little thing in your body is the thing that regulates the most part of your body. You know? Little things, little organs and things in your body that if the hormone thing's not just right, that it causes everything else to go out of kilter. Faith, F-A-I-T, it's a small word, faith, but it's monumental in what it accomplishes. It's powerful than where it takes you. It's just like, how can something so small be so powerful? Isn't that like the, you know, they think, what are these, oxymorons or whatever they are, well, not even necessarily that, but when it says, why is small, S-M-A-L-L, which we think is small, but the word is bigger than the word big, which means big. S-M-A-L-L, big, B-I-G. You know, it's things like that that you think of. But it's those powerful things that we realize of what faith has within us. It's those small things within us. And faith is small, but faith is big. Amen? I'm looking at faith as a small word in some of the things of the Bible, but it's monumental in where it gets you in the relationship with what God has for you and your life with Him. We... Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at John 11. A lot of other scriptures here, and maybe next week we'll kind of look through those in the New Testament of things that are faith. But this, yesterday for the men's thing, and then after we read this, and I read it again and reread it and focused on it some more, this was the scripture that they were looking at. Actually, it was John 11:21-25. But to get there, let's start at 11. 11:1, John 11:1. A certain man was sick, Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now this was Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. We know the story, don't we? What happened to Lazarus? He died. But prior to that, therefore the sister sent to him, because it says in 2, that whose brother Lazarus was sick. He hadn't died yet, but he was sick. And then we get into 3. Therefore the sister sent to him, to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he got right up and ran as fast as he could to get over there. No, what did it say? The sickness is not unto death, but for what? The glory of God. When you're going through situations in your life that you seem very hard and you don't understand and it's kind of painful at that time, do you understand and realize that it's not for your glory at all? It's really for His. Because He's going to receive that glory as He works through that level of faith, as He works through that whatever situation is, it's for His glory. And so we find out that when Jesus heard that, He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and the Son of God may be what? Glorified through it. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It's not that he despised them, right? They were important to him. We find out that was where the shortest verse or scripture was, when Jesus wept after he got there and all the disheartening things going on and Lazarus was dead. But anyway, now, he loved them, and so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days where he was at. Wouldn't you have thought that having those ladies come and telling him what was going on and Lazarus was sick, that he was going to go right over there and take care of it? Common in thought process and our natural man and thought natural man's thoughts would say that would probably be the thing he'd do. Because you know what? That's what I'd do. Has anybody in your family ever called and said, you know, somebody is sick or they're running a fever or this or that, or could you do this for me? And you say, oh, yeah, I'll be there in 2 days. Generally, we would take the thing and run over there and help them, wouldn't you? But Jesus is saying this, and he's looking at this, and he's saying that he stayed 2 more days where he was at, and then after that, he said to the disciples, now let us go. It's like, well, they're saying, and now the disciples are saying, well, Rabbi, and 8, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and now you're going to where they are again? And what did he say in verse 9? Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And then these things he said, and after that he said, okay, guys, our friend Lazarus, he sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Now, he had told them in the beginning that this sickness is not unto death, right? And before that, they just said that he's sick. His sisters didn't come and say that he's dead. We need you to come and resurrect him. They just said he's sick. And Jesus says in 4, this sickness is not unto death. But now he's telling his guys that he's there. He says that now in 11, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but that I go that I may wake him. Now, his disciples are doing what? They're saying, well, if he's asleep, just let him nudge him. So what did then he say? Well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well, his disciples said in 12. But in 13 it says, however, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of what? He's resting and he's in his sleep. then Jesus had to just come right out and tell these guys, okay, guys, you don't get it. He's dead. He's no longer. His breathing has stopped. He's cold. He's dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why is that? This situation that had happened and developed with Lazarus went from bad to what? Worse. But the Lord is telling them, it's good that I wasn't there, even though in the natural, I think death is pretty severe, don't you? The end of all. The end of all and all the end. Can't get much worse than that. But now he says, it's for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, could you imagine what his disciples were thinking? Oh my gosh, this guy's dead, and now he's deciding to go? Why didn't he decide to go 2 days ago when he was just sick? Why is it, Lord, that you got to always wait until it gets so hard to understand, it looks like it's so insurmountable that it doesn't look like it's going to work? Why do you wait until that to really show up and do your thing? Has he done that in your lives recently? The last 6 months, the last 3 years, the last 5 years? Have you felt like you've been near death or died? And you're saying, well, Lord, why didn't you come 3 months ago when this thing was just starting and I've called upon you to come and you took your time? Because he said, it's not the time yet. It's best for you that I not come. Because when I do come, you're going to know that I come. And when I'm there, you're going to know that I was there. And when I leave, you know that the answer has come and it's finished. It is finished. Well, this is still talking about faith in here because we're going to get there, I think. So anyway, he says now in 11, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but let us go that I may wake him. Well, if he's sleeping, why not? Just, you know. No, he's dead, you guys. Come on, let's go get him. Then Thomas, who called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, hey, let's go, let us all go that we may die with him. I was like, well, that's encouraging. Woo, let's go with Jesus. Let's all go, guys. Let's all die. And then when Jesus had come in 17, he found that he had already been in the tomb how many days? 4 days. He stayed in the town 2 days. He was alive when he was in the town, but now after 2 days, he's heading that way because after 2 days, Jesus said, okay, see, when we go to him with our problems and things, we say, I'm sick. Come now. Jesus says, that ain't bad enough yet. I got to wait until you're dead. Ooh. 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 Lord, do you really know what you're saying? Yes. These are examples of people in the Bible that lived and walked in faith and things that we read it now. We look at it going, how in the world? Why would he have done that? But we got to go to the rest of the story. Amen. So anyway, in 17 he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days, and now it's, you know, many of the Jews and all had joined the women around Mary and Martha and all this and what was going on to comfort them because, you know, their brother is now what? Dead. And then as soon as Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting at the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever kicked the Lord on the shin saying, you know what, God, if you would have answered my prayer 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't be in this situation right now. You know, we could be real with ourselves sometimes, say, you know what, I kind of got on God's case a few times, you know. Thank God for his grace and mercy that he didn't just snuff me out saying, who are you? When I formed these worlds and put this world together. Where were you at, Tim? Has something like that in his scriptures that he says to somebody, right? Where were you, man? Don't tell me how bad it is. Don't tell me what I should do. Don't tell me that I should do what you want me to do. I know what's best for you. And I know when it's best for you to have that answer. And I know when it's time to give it to you. Now, I'm going to tell you what, guys. If we get a sickness and we end up dying here, we got the best of both worlds because if we're saved and sanctified by Christ and Jesus our Lord and Savior and he is our Lord, and I'm going to go to heaven anyway and I'm going to live eternity there. Right. There's healing here. There's healing there forever. Amen. So we got to kind of look at that vein of things because there's many people that say, well, look, I'm such a man of faith and he died. Well, no, his flesh died, but his spirit is living on forever and ever and ever and ever in a wonderful place. But anyway, we're getting back to the point of, you know, God knows more of what we need and when we need it than we do. Because we've got to walk by that eyesight of faith to where I don't see it exactly in the tangible right now, but I'm seeing it out here somewhere, and I just know that God is there for me, and I know that he's hearing my prayers, and I know that he's going to take care of me one way or the other. He'll send ravens with food if I need food. Whatever I'm necessarily needing, he's going to take care of it. Where's your faith at in these things, guys? So anyway, then in 21, now Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother, he would not have died. 22, John 11, 22, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Now she starts thinking of something else, right? Martha says to him, well, I know that he will rise again in that resurrection in the last day. That's even for us. Well, Lord, I know that, you know, he died, but, you know, we were like, he would live now, but he said, no, he'll live. Well, I know he's going to live in the, you know, the resurrection, and that time comes, the dead in Christ will rise, and all these things. It's kind of like what she's saying. And then he goes, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Well, let me ask you that. He's asking who? Martha? Put your name in there. Tim, do you believe this? Pat, do you believe this? Sherry, do you believe this? Our little thing yesterday. The journey from devastation to hope can be plotted out by boiling Jesus' words down to these three words. Believe in me. Don't give grief and pain the final word. Believe in me. Don't let your world come crashing down around you. Believe in me. Don't give up. By now you should know what the finish of that is. You guys are fast learners, aren't you? Come on now. And whoever lives, believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Well, now, I've taken a lot of time to get to all this point in here, but then it gets to this here, and this is what really got me going here, because now we've got to figure out, where is the faith at in these people? Jesus goes through and groaning, and he's sad, and all these things are happening, and he's kind of disheartened, and Lazarus, my friend, he's dead. He sees the people that are in pain and distraught, and that he's groaning now. It talks about that, I think, doesn't it? Oh. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled, in verse 33. And he's asked them, where have you laid him? Well, Lord, come and see. 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, well, come, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Jesus says this in 11:4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Then Jesus again, groaning in 38, and in himself came to the tomb. The tomb is a cave. And in what was in front of that opening of the cave? A stone laid against it. Now he's saying, take away the stone. And of course, what are they telling him? Jesus, have you ever hit a skunk on County D at, you know? Have you ever smelt decaying flesh, you know, of when you got meat and stuff in your freezer and the power goes out or the freezer goes out and it smells like you got a dead body in the back somewhere? It's like, he's dead. He's 4 days. He's in there. He's stinking. Well, I think Jesus would say, you know what? You got to get rid of your stinking thinking. Oh, that's hot there, isn't it? Stinking thinking. That just hit me, man. So then he says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was who was of him who was dead said, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus says to her in 40, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Do you believe today that you're going to see the glory of God? Do you believe in the things that God has done for you, that you're going to see those things evidenced in your life even here in the now? I hope you do, because it is all about the here and now. Jesus came so that we would have life and have it more abundant, not just in heaven, but here on this place. We've got where he has given us the dominion of this place that we're in. We need to take dominion of this sphere of where we're at, where you live, where you work, where you go to school. You take dominion over those oppositions of people that are there. If they're not godly, if they're doing bad things, if they're doing nasty things, whatever the case is, you take dominion over that and say, by the authority of God, I just come against that right now in Jesus' name. Because I'm a child of yours and I'm taking dominion over this area, God. This affects my life personally. This affects my family personally. And I'm a child of yours and I will not put up with it. Get rid of the drug dealers. Get rid of the hostility peoples in our neighborhoods that are shooting up and drugs and carrying guns and all these things. I don't know. Get rid of that criminal element. I don't know how it's going to be done, God. I don't need to know how it's going to be done. I just know you're going to do it. The next morning, they're leaving. Maybe not. 3 weeks later, they leave. Whatever the case might be. And all of a sudden, you go back to that point, and after that person or that situation is gone, I no longer need faith to see that anymore. But I've had dominion over it. I knew God would take care of it on his time. Even though I went to him 2 days ago, and I said that Lazarus is sick, come now. And he says, oh, we'll go there later. I'm saying, no, Lord, I need it now. He's saying, no, I'll do it at my time. No, Lord, you don't understand. I really need it now. And he says, you don't understand. It's not for you. It's for my Father to receive the glory. And only sometimes when you get to the very end of your pier that you're walking on, and the next step you're going into the drink, only then does he add another plank to that pier and said, here I am now. Woo! I didn't fall in the water. I'm dry. Well, we got to wrap this thing up, man. How do you stop? Can't stop thinking about this now. Thinking about tomorrow. I'm already thinking about next Sunday, man. We got more to do. There's stuff in this that just, you don't have to read the entire Bible all at one time to get the power of it and understand what he's done for you and to see it alive in your life, man. Just take some of these real stories of what God did, what Jesus did, what he said to those around him and why he did it, and say, I can see that in my life right here in 2014 in Rock County. But now we got to wrap this up because Packers are playing. Who cares about them? You know. It don't matter what they do in the first three quarters anyway. Look at the Badgers last night. I stayed up until like, what was it, like 10 to 2? And look, I'm so vibrant today. I was laughing. I said, I can't believe it. Oh, anyway, you'd have to see the whole thing, though. They lost it. It was like 3 points or 2 points shy. And had they? Anyway, can't go there. Packers are playing. We got to get out of here. I'm sure God up there is saying, oh, great, here comes football season. Churches, oh, gee, they're cut. But I just wanted to get to this after I read all that and what is happening to Lazarus. The area that these people walked in the faith, those sisters, is in 39. Jesus says, take away the stone. They know he's been in there for 4 days. So in the natural, they know what it's all about. In the natural, they know that it's smelling. In the natural, they know that generally when a person gets to that point in time and stinking, they ain't going to be coming out rosin, you know, smelling like roses. You know, maybe that's why when you go to a funeral, they always bring a lot of flowers in. I don't put all these flowers here. I don't know. But the faith that I saw in this was that when he said, take the stone away, and Martha and the sister of him who was dead said to him, Lord, by this time the stench has been dead for 4 days. He says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? in the situation that you're going through today, do you not believe what Jesus has said or what God has said to you? Just believe that I will take care of your problems. We shared some scriptures of what he's done for us through the Word of God. And then it says, 41. What did they do? They took away the stone. You got the guy right there, Jesus, right there in the flesh, telling you, it stinks, he's dead, he's been there in 4 days. I'm saying, roll this stone away, he's coming out of there. They could have said, you're crazy. I know you talk about a lot of powerful things, and I know I think what you're thinking. See, we're already telling him, well, you're probably talking about the resurrection when, you know, all this happens down the road way back. No, Jesus is saying, I'm talking about the now, the here, the now, of what's going to happen to this person. No, he's dead, he's going to walk out of there. But I'm going to tell you, by faith, I'm telling you to roll that stone away and let it happen. What would have happened if they didn't roll that stone away? What would have happened if they said, he's been in there 4 days, he stinks, I'm not rolling the stone away, I'm leaving. What would have happened? I don't know. My Bible wouldn't tell me that. It doesn't have a what if. See, you can't get into conversations with people about the what ifs if God didn't do these things or not. I just have to go by what I see and what I read and what I sense in the Spirit and what God has told me. So anyway, he says this, and they did that, and guess what? They took away the stone. They moved upon that. Their faith, I think that's some faith on those ladies' parts, or whoever rolled that stone away. The trust what Jesus was saying. See, they're looking at him as just mere man, just here like, well, he's a son of God, but he's done this, he's done, and a lot of miracles and things. So anyway, he did that. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Hallelujah. When we are praying and we pray through that of Jesus and Jesus intercedes for us, he's at the right hand of God the Father, what happens? Probably the same thing. I think Jesus will be right there at the right hand of God saying, God the Father saying, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Petitioning and interceding for the things of my friend, our friend Tim. As he's prayed in earnest prayer, a faithful prayer, a prayer of faith that this is going to happen. Thank you, Father, for hearing this. Oh, you guys, please hold back the excitement. You guys are overwhelming me. No, well, nobody's dead yet. Okay. I don't see a lot of movement out there, so I just want to make sure we have roll away a stone up here or something. Amen, amen. So anyway, take away and all this, and then he says that. And thank you, Father, that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you've sent me. When we pray and you pray things in Jesus' name, the Father hears those things. The Father receives those things. And it's like, you know what? That they may believe that you've sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. For some of you NASCAR guys, it'd be like, gentlemen, start your engines. Hey, Larry, that's just for you, brother. Good to see you guys. Thanks for coming. But Lazarus, come out. And what did he do? He goes, oh, I'm dead. Can't deal with it. I'm stinking. I can't do that. No, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out and bound hand and foot with, he had the grave claws on. He was bound and wrapped for death. And his face was wrapped with cloth, but Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The Lord, you've got to be loosed in the things that the devil has wrapped around you to the point to where you come out of that cave that you're dead in. You come out with whatever the devil has put against you or on you or around you, wrapped you up, tried to tie you tight, whatever the case might be, that the Lord says, Tim, come out. Wow. Tim, roll that stone away. Move by faith the things that I've told you that I will do. And when I say do something, do it. Oh, gosh. I think that was so good, we need to take a second offering. By faith. Well, let's stand. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for the power of your word and for what it does to us. Father, your word.